Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Ask Coach Mac. This is episode number 57. Appreciate you being with me. If you're just jumping in, make sure you like, share, comment so that I know you're there. If you are interested in asking questions for these episodes, I try to go through, 4 to 5 questions, try to keep this relatively short, the length of a car ride. But if you put it in the comments, or email me or go through my website, then I will, put those questions into future episodes. And so make sure that you do that. Like and comment, sharing, if you're following or listening to this on iTunes, a rating and review, all those things help me continue to make an impact and help as many coaches as I possibly can. And that's what my mission has been all along. And so hopefully you guys help me with that. Play Summits. I just got back from being down in Georgia. I got a workout in and I thought I'd jump on real quick and knock one of these episodes out, but heading off to another Play Summit this weekend. We've had a couple so far. They've all been fantastic. I would encourage you to check out www.playsummits.com to see if there's a summit or a mastermind that's coming near you. Want to jump right into this, answer as many questions as I can. Again, if you're jumping on, I see a bunch of people jumping on. If you're just jumping in, leave some questions below, and I will get to the ones as I can at the end of the episode there. So first question, Jason asked, Ron, do you use Gymaware or Tendo units with your team? If so, do you use different velocities for new athletes compared to veterans during a periodization block? And, Jason, good question. Appreciate you asking that. Basically, my answer is this. I mean, with your new athletes, I would not use Tendo, Gymaware, or any kind of velocity-based training because they need to demonstrate to you the ability to be able to handle high limb speeds. And so there needs to be a set strength level, a base strength level that needs to occur. And then from there, once you progress along and you start to incorporate some dynamic effort movements into your training session, it's all relative, because the speed is going to dictate the amount of weight, and that's going to be relative to the athlete's strength level. So I would encourage you first to make sure that you're doing basic linear periodization program or just any kind of basic periodization model. And then as your athletes excel, usually for us, that was junior, senior year in college, then we'd start to incorporate some high velocity VBT type of training. And so hopefully if Brian is watching this, Dr. Brian Mann, if he's watching this, which he usually does, I would hope that he would agree with me on that. See, Chris jumped in again, guys, comment below. Let me know you're there and ask some questions as you go. Appreciate you being here, Chris. Next question, Mark. Mark asks, Coach, question about squats and 90 degrees. Where did 90 degrees come from? I watch my 18-month-old son, or 18-month-old, and she squats butt to ankles. I watch Discovery Channel and see an 80-year-old selling food and trinkets on the street, squatting butt to ankles. Why isn't, that the standard? And I think, Mark, ultimately it's a handful of things. It's the fact that through time, we have limited our range of motion. And so I think the first thing that I would say is if you can squat full range of motion, which full range of motion is always the goal, then you definitely want to make sure that you continue to do that, because you continue to add resistance through range of motion, which is the ultimate goal. That said, anytime you go past 90 degrees, obviously, there's an agonist and an antagonistic relationship with the quads and the hamstrings. And so you start to kind of have this rubber band effect on your muscles. And so if your body is not capable of doing that, it's not been used to doing that, that friction within the muscle can lead to a lot of injuries. And so oftentimes, because of a limited range of motion based off of being in a kind of a, not a sedentary culture environment, but, you know, sitting down in a 90-degree angle for most of classes, high school, elementary school, things like that, 90 degrees has kind of been that position that we've adapted to or evolved to over time. So I think that's mostly where it's at. I think you got, you know, open up the knee joint. There's some friction. Any exercise that occurs, anything that you do, there is a cost-benefit relationship there. You know, and so there is more friction that occurs when you do go beyond 90 degrees. It's just whether or not you're capable of doing that based off your range of motion. So hope that answers your question there, Mark. John asks, in the next 10 years, how do you think the field of strength and conditioning will change based off any patterns you've seen from the last decade or recently? And I see a bunch of guys jumping on. Did you have to bring in the live birds? Of course I did, Rich. Of course I did. Got to get it. It's a beautiful day, so I wanted to enjoy the day. So John asked, the next 10 years, what do I see? I'll tell you what I hope I see, John. And I'm glad that Rich jumped in there. I see Derek jumped in and Blake. Appreciate you guys. What I hope to see is three things. One, I hope that we see a strength and conditioning degree within the next 10 years. I hope that there is you know, an academic-based program. I think that's what's limiting us as a profession right now, is that we're lacking, a strength and conditioning degree. And because we lack that, we Frankenstein it with kinesiology and biology and exercise phys and all these other different disciplines, then we don't have research being done. We don't have standards being created. And our profession is being hurt because of that. Additionally, we don't have really a place for a lot of our aging coaches to go. And one of those places I think that they could go would be obviously to teach. I mean, we got this wealth of wisdom, wealth of knowledge, and this base of people that it would be fantastic for them to contribute and give back to the profession by teaching. And obviously that's something that I try to do quite a bit. I think the second thing I'd like to see is an associate AD role, you know, basically a program, kind of a high performance manager. You see in a lot of other countries are typically strength coaches that have become this high performance manager that have the ear of the coach, have the ear of the administration, and can make, have kind of be a go-between between administration and, you know, strength coach or the coaching staff. And the athletes. And so I think that would be a fantastic thing. It already takes place. Desmond, I know, has that. I agree with you, Desmond. I have to learn more about that. I know I talked to Liam, I have to get more information about that. But, you know, at the end of the day, we need it in the States as well. And hopefully we're progressing towards that. And I think the third thing is a high school strength coach. And that's why I was bringing Rich back in. Having a strength coach at every high school is something that this generation of strength and conditioning coaches has to accomplish. Should be the number one mission of any of our organizations, so the NSCA, CSCCA, High School Strength Coach Association, IYCA, any of our associations, that needs to be the number one mission, because it's tons of liability, tons of risk, a lack of understanding and knowledge at that, and a majority of the world, and addressing that, I think, is a priority for our generation. All right, Gary asks, let's see here. Gary asks, how do you like to maximize the power equation? Which areas do you emphasize, force versus velocity? And does it depend on the power of the athlete position? And of course it does, Gary. I think, you have to figure out what your goals are for that training period, whether or not it is to produce more power, to produce more strength. And I think that those are things that absolutely have to occur. But I would say this is all, strength and power lie on the same continuum. And so by increasing one, you're going to increase the other, And so if you take the power equation, force times distance over time, if you increase force, so if it's two, if it's two times one over one, and you increase it to three times one over one, obviously power goes up, and so not building a good solid strength base is very, very, is something that's often missed. You know, some people, like we talked about in the first question, people want to jump right to moving high limb speeds or, you know, the power lifts or the Olympic lifts. And because of that, there's a lack of strength that's there. And a strong athlete is always going to lead to a more powerful athlete. Joe asks, high weight, where does high reps, low weight, and low reps, high weight belong in the program? And, I mean, you know, Joe, basically, you know, it's a basic question when it comes to program design. Typically with your hypertrophy, that's going to be a lower weight, higher rep. With more of your strength and power, it's going to be obviously lower reps, higher weight, and you're just going to progress across that continuum as well as you go. And so depending, again, of what your goals are for that training period depends on whether or not you're going to do that at the beginning. Typically, you progress from higher reps, lower weight to lower reps, higher weight. And so that's your typical kind of linear progression. I'm going to jump through here. Let's see. Derek asks, huge fan, how can new coaches entering the field demonstrate value? How can we change the low entry level salary when an MS new and numerous years of experience is required? And Derek, I agree with you, man. It's tough getting started, you know, and here you are in a lot of professions. If you have a master's degree, you have, you know, some experience, and you're going for these, you know, these entry level jobs in most professions, you're getting compensated accordingly. The problem is, it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. There's just a saturation in the market, and we have not created more jobs. And so, again, it goes back to being the number one priority for this generation is to create more opportunities through more jobs and finding other areas to do that. I think when you're entering the field, how can you stand out? How can you know, create, how can you separate yourself from another coach is really identifying your unique selling proposition, what you bring to the table that somebody else doesn't. I often say that your mess is your message. And so, you know, that's how you kind of create this uniqueness. So growing up in a single parent home, 5 kids, all those things, those are things that I use it to kind of differentiate myself from other people. But then your advanced knowledge, you know, and finding, you know, so, you know, having a master's degree and a certification is just really, it's a prereq. You have to take it to another level and develop skill sets, you know, and I think those three things that stand out to me right now, if you have your CSCS, a certification and a nutrition RD, you're going to stand out. If you have your CSCS and an ATC, you're going to stand out. If you have your CSCS and, you know, some sports science background, you know, then you're going to stand out and have the ability to implement those things. Those are things that are jobs that are lacking at a lot of schools. And so if you can kind of get 2 for 1, I think ultimately that's going to help win out. So, Derek, I hope that answers your question. Guys, I'm going to jump off here. I want to try to keep these relatively short. Appreciate you guys jumping in. If you listen to this all the way throughout, please like, share, comment, you know, ask your questions in the comment section, and I will get to them on another episode of this. I always end these episodes with a quote. This one's from Jonathan Eckert. It says, for the novice, curiosity comes naturally, and innovation is a necessity. There's a desperate need to figure out how best to serve students and a humility that comes with knowing that you do not have all the answers. And I think that's so important as coaches, is that we continue to be lifelong learners, and we're on this quest for knowledge, but we never get to that point to where we feel like we have all the answers. So guys, I hope that you enjoyed this. Again, help me get the word out. This is on my coach page, at R. McKeefrey, which I don't, you know, I had to start because my other one filled up. And so rather than do it on my other one and not drive traffic there, I want to put it here. So help me share it and get it out there. And again, these are available on iTunes by subscribing to Iron Game Chalk Talk, which is our weekly podcast. Till then, guys, have a great day. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.